Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, a podcast dedicated to offering a growth mindset platform for us entrepreneurs, where we discuss everything from business, mindset, to life in general. I'm your host, Catherine Polsonelli, a business organizing powerhouse, personal development strategist, and owner of Agent Services Plus, a company focused on helping entrepreneurs just like you build, grow, and be courageous in their business. I'm so excited to have you with us today. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage and get ready to have some amazing conversations and fantastic takeaways. Let's jump right in. So thank you all for joining today. I am so excited to have you guys here, and I have with me Kim. And Kim, if you don't mind, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast, first off. But tell us a little bit about you and what it is that you do and how you kind of got into the business that you're in.
Yeah, thanks, Kat. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. So I was head of HR for about 10 years ago. And through that experience, I learned the importance of, you know, what an improved culture and what a not a good culture was. And but forget about all that. We all go to work, we don't like somebody, or we have a family member that we just can't get along with, or we have a conversation we just can't have because we don't have the energy, whatever that is. So I dealt with a lot of communication. But I am a psychology nerd. And so I delved into this stuff. I was kind of like, why is this the case? And it came to a realization for me. How did I want to stop recruiting for positions that were unnecessarily vacant because of a bad boss or a coworker, that things just weren't being rectified, and why?
Okay.
So there was this, like, you know, procrastination on conversations, but it all fell under the umbrella of communication. So I took it from there. Now, one of the things I did do early in my earlier days is I became a certified holistic health coach, but from a behavioral standpoint of why we don't do wellness for ourselves, right?
Okay.
I don't make meal plans, but I help people from a behavioral standpoint, life coaching, which is also leadership training and development, which is what I do for my B2B stuff. And that's why we're here to talk today, I guess.
I love that. Wow. So you've got a couple of different things in your back pocket then. I absolutely love that. So tell me, when you got into the life coaching side of it, what kind of got you into that field, or what did you enjoy the most with the people that you worked with in that area? Because life coach, I feel like, can be so generalized. And it sounds like you really had kind of like a niche in your life coaching that you really enjoyed attacking when dealing with people.
Yeah. So when I started in HR, I was very silly and I thought it was going to be more tactical. But what I found was it wasn't, because the culture was toxic. And this is not an intentional toxicity. It was just an ignorance, an innocent ignorance that happened that we all needed to learn. And sometimes that can be an incredibly uphill battle. But as people were coming into my office, I was new in HR. They were hungry for someone to listen to them. Some were legitimate, some were egoic and kind of like feel bad for me, you know? So I found myself more helpful with the employee relations piece and keeping us out of litigious situations than writing policies and procedures and handbooks. And all that is definitely nature of the beast. But I found myself really good at sitting down, working through issues, figuring out the real cause of the issue, and then pulling that apart and fixing things. And that's where it really started was, funnily enough, is all the problems the employees were having. And I had that proverbial rotating door.
So what did you notice that was like one of the biggest issues in that arena that I know is being faced probably not just in corporate, but also in the entrepreneurship with those that have teams as well?
Yep. So I'm going to say three things. I'm hoping to keep my mind on track with this. Setting expectations improperly, right? Listening and showing recognition. So the people that were doing their job and doing it well, that's okay. They should be. But the people that were having a hard time, or whether it be issues at home, you know, whatever the case may be, the managers would come in and speak to me and be like, this person's driving me crazy. And I'm like, well, so I'll pick on you for a second, Kat. So it's like, okay, what do you know about Kat? What is it that's going on? Well, I don't know. They just don't get here on time. They're miserable when they're here. But there was no really reaching out, learning about them, because they didn't realize that there was the people part of the job was very critical, and they were kind of focusing on that tactical. They're here by 9, they leave by 5, and they get this, 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 and this, and this done.
Yeah.
Which I know that there's an element to that, but all the other stuff, that cultural, emotional intelligence, any relationship building out the window, or not even, it wasn't even in sight. So I needed to bring it to the surface. And that was the
okay.
Best. Yeah.
I love that. So it seems like communication all around just is, well, and it still is, in my personal opinion, being in the corporate world, right, is an issue with our employers, is they disconnect who we are from the job instead of collaborating it together and making it work for the best of both worlds, I feel like.
That's right.
And it's interesting that you're talking about this, because I'm actually in the process of reading, I'm in the middle of reading Brené Brown's book, Daring Leadership.
Yes.
And that's something that she talks about, is that daring leadership of being able to ask questions, get to know your people, and see the difference that it makes in not only their work life, but how they get their projects done, and can turn into how they deal with things at home as well.
That's right. And we all have personality styles. And there's DISC and Myers-Briggs and all of the like, right?
Yes.
I do a proprietary one, and it gets to it's not all that scientific, but it gets me to the core value for them. And what I do is I have them become aware, because we all have to start with ourselves, right?
Of course.
Become aware of ourselves and what our communication style is, how we send and receive information. But as a leader, you're there for your team, as a leader of a family, as a member of a family, you're also there for them. Now, I'm a mom and a wife, and don't tell my husband, but I like being right. That's my ego. You know, I'm a mom. I've done it right. I've got it. It works. But that doesn't mean I can't listen. I can't absorb what other people have to say. And
true.
My husband said a couple of times, "It's not about you." And I was like, "You're right. I don't like hearing that." So our egos get in the way, because I always have an agenda when I'm trying to get something done. But as a leader at the moment, because my husband and I both co-parent, obviously, it's, you have to be open to others and implement what others have to say. You're there to help collaborate. And it's unfortunate when we don't learn about the other person. Yeah, the people on your team might be introverts. They might be kind of analyzers, happy to sit behind a keyboard all day long. Me, I don't mind being out in front of a crowd, but that's where I'm comfortable. That would, if I had to sit behind a keyboard all day, it would drain me, right?
Yeah.
And it terrifies people to get in front of folks. And that's just their personality style. But I can't expect the same of everyone on my team. It's my responsibility to understand the people around me so that I can learn to communicate. It's not just about me. It's a two-way street.
Definitely. So now you said that you have people do a test to figure out their communication style. Is that something that you've come up with, or is it something that you suggest to people start with so that you can then help them dive deeper into that one?
Yeah. So I have a program for that. And that's the first thing I do with people, is I have them fill it out, and we get to a surface level of that. A lot of people kind of already know themselves, but we really work on that self piece first, so they can become observable for others. It's just, which is really what that kind of, it opens up that onion. I get a lot of folks that say, well, if you can get me to get my team to ... And this is, we need to kind of change the mindset of leadership, because it's about, I mean, the reason why I do what I do, and it comes down to it, is I learned to love Mondays when I went into business for myself. I truly love Mondays, but I don't want people to wait until retirement to enjoy their life. I mean, we can go to work and be miserable because we can't stand the people we work with or for. And doing what we love to do, we will look for a job any other day of the week.
Yeah.
But if we don't necessarily love what we do, but I cannot wait to see Kat when I go to work, I love my boss, I'm going to be more lenient on being so determined to do exactly what I love to do, because I love who I work with and for. So we're social beings. We want that. This is what we need. So I get to the core values of each person. And we share, and we're vulnerable, just like the Brené Brown thing. I create leaders that people trust and don't want to leave. And that's what makes people want to go to work and not have to wait till they're 65 or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Enjoy their life.
Yeah.
Everybody has that opportunity. Sure. So don't wait. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I absolutely love that. I think that's, and I think that we do need that. And I've seen a couple of, you know, like memes and quotes and stuff like that, that like there's a difference between a boss and a leader. There's a huge difference. Boss has that ego in the way of helping people. A leader understands where their strengths and weaknesses are and don't have a problem with having conversations with those on their team that may have a strength somewhere where they don't, and work in a collaborative space, which makes other people more comfortable. Right.
That's right. That's right. And they'll say, hey, my boss, my leader. People don't use that word. Right.
Yes.
And some, I can remember all my great bosses. I use that word, but I'm like, you can be a great leader. You can be there for folks. And they're more productive. They're not going to call out when they have 8 hours racked up and off and just finding any excuse not to be at work. Mm-hmm. You know, relationships are important. And it's about meeting people halfway or 60% or whatever the case may be, but put that effort in. And it all just really does. You should lead by examples. Leaders should lead by examples.
Yeah, definitely. So if you were working with someone, you know, in the corporate space or just, you know, in general, as far as a team, what would be some of the things that you would suggest that the leader kind of starts leaning into to start building that trust with that team?
Yep. So the first question I ask is, so we go through that like little personality thing. So I want to make sure that we know, they know who they are, what they're dealing with, and the folks that work for them. But I always say, you know, listen, do you do one-on-ones with your team? Now, I get that some will say, I have 50 people that work for me. I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
And I'll say, you can't afford not to. And it can be a 15-minute conversation. And it can be once every 6 weeks, once every 2 months, something consistent that works for them. Because when performance evaluations and let's forget about work altogether, when you're working with, you know, even from a personal perspective, you know, are you investing in the people around you or are you judging? Right.
Oh, so very true.
Right. We come with biases to conversations, but by learning about the folks around us, we start to understand the person. And not so much rely on our biases and beliefs of just how I always have done things. You know, when someone kind of walks by you and maybe they're dressed differently than you and you kind of go, oh, that you don't even know that person. What are you doing? Right. Social media is a breeding ground for this stuff. But from a home perspective and as well as a work perspective, get to know your people. And I often say to the new leaders in training, you know, make the time to get to know them. Go, it might simply start, Kat, with good morning, how are you? Because they're just going, those people that just go into the office,
yeah,
quiet, do your job, you're here to make a paycheck, and make it so that they're not just there to make a paycheck, make them want to come to work. So it might be as simple as saying good morning. I know that sounds a little silly, but that could be that. One-on-ones. Mm-hmm. Showing recognition for a job well done, even though they're doing the job they should be doing. Give them a reason to be seen and to be heard.
Yeah.
Listen, listen, listen. Yeah.
Definitely. Listening for sure. And it's funny that you say that too, because I feel like that reverberates across the board as far as acknowledgement and recognition. So funny story. So my husband and I went and picked up some Mexican food a couple days ago, and we just got it to go. And we were going through the door, and there was a gentleman that had been holding the door open for all these people. So as we walked by, I was like, thank you. And my husband said the same thing, but I could hear him. He was talking to a lady that was inside, and he was like, oh, 3 out of the 6 people actually acknowledged that. And I was like, isn't that funny? To know that, well, I do it too. I'm waiting to see who pays attention. But it's interesting to see that how many people like just go right on by. They're so in that moment or so into whatever they're doing themselves that they can't even acknowledge someone that's holding a door open for them. And it's such a simple gesture, but it can make someone's day just by saying thank you, because maybe they stepped outside their comfort zone to hold a door open, right?
That's right. That's right. And I often say to people, and they'll say, you know, I do this for people all the time and I don't hear anything back. So I'm going to flip that a little bit, because oftentimes, and this is where I kind of peel back and I can get a lot of interaction when I'm working with a group. why did you open the door? Did you do it for the thank you, or did you just truly just try to help someone else? So that person that might have not said thank you could be just a very unsociable person, or been going through a really hard time and they couldn't do it. Maybe someone just passed away or whatever. So I always say, don't do it for the thank you, but give the thank you anyway if you're there. Like the bosses don't do it for someone to say, oh my God, you're a great leader. You're the best in the world. You're there for them. Recognize them. Understand. Definitely say thank you when someone opens a door. That is common courtesy. Mm-hmm. When someone doesn't, I implore you to just extend yourself to forgiving them for not doing that, so that you're now not mad because six people didn't say thank you, because now that becomes an unhealthy, you know, courtesy, right? And a lot of people might argue with that, but I say, you know, let's have that conversation, because I peel it back to, did you do it for the thank you? Like certain people will do things for somebody and they're like, I've babysat their kids 17 times. They didn't even ask me for mine. I'm like, but
yeah,
and this isn't a back and forth. You know, if you ask them and they say, they want you to watch their children, then great, but don't keep score. You know, don't keep score.
Yeah.
Just do it and let it go. It takes practice.
Or create that boundary that if you feel like you're being used, then create something around that where it's a positive give and take, or you're setting a boundary, right? Where, okay, I keep doing for this person, but they keep taking. Next time I'm going to have to say no.
I think that's
a huge one.
That's right. So it's, if someone's asking too much of you, know when to say no. But if you're asking to do something for people and they're not reciprocating, then you know to stop going down that path.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk for a week on this, but it's just knowing how not to get so angry all the time with everything these days, because gosh knows we don't need more of that, right?
Yeah.
So again, self-reflection and self-correction is where I always tell people to kind of look. Yeah.
I love that. And you said something about the leadership as well. You were saying that they don't need to look for that recognition from their people. We're here to help give that recognition, right? And I think that is a really hard one for a lot of people, especially in the entrepreneurial space. Because if you're working by yourself, or you've just hired a team member, right? You expect so much of yourself or so much of that person that you forget that sometimes you have to give yourself an internal recognition instead of waiting for that external to make you feel better. Because then that's, I feel like, where people get really, really stuck, or they get really stuck with someone that they hire that, let's say, is a fantastic fit, but because they don't know how to communicate and give recognition and recognize themselves, then they get frustrated with that person and just falls apart.
That's right. And it could be the simplest of the communication piece that falls apart right at the beginning or at the end. So some people say, well, how do I do that? I don't even know the person that starts. So tell them, hey, listen, you know, I might not be the most talkative person, but I sit back, I absorb, I kind of like analyze. That's who I am. I'm a little on the quiet side. So, you know, don't mind me if I'm in a meeting and I need to ask 75 questions. Now I'm the person in the meeting going, okay, I'm going to take this. I'm going to go. And then I'll ask questions if I have any. The other person's like, oh, hold on, I have another question. And then you have the five faces that go, and like, let them ask their questions. That's what they need to be who they are. And again, it's about a peripheral vision about who's around you, so that you can minimize the angst that comes with communication. Now we've all had situations where we either procrastinate or don't have the conversation, whether that's at work or with a family. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I kind of wanted to inject here today. Why don't we? We're big on complaining about it when we're not around their ears, right? But when they get close and can hear, all of a sudden we're quiet. So let's figure out what the frustration is. And, you know, things in my own family have happened where, you know, unfortunately a death can bring people together where it was a simple situation, not easy, but simple, where it could have happened before, but a tragedy brings people together, which is unfortunate, but silver lining. So don't wait for retirement. Don't wait for that tragedy. Work on it every day. Start with yourself and start forgiving others when they do something you don't like. And be there for somebody else without anything in return, with boundaries, and see how that goes. And just start with that.
Yeah, that's a huge one, is obviously having the boundaries as well, because I feel like we get into like this people pleasing mode, or we're constantly waiting for someone to tell us how good we are. I know that I dealt with that for a really long time. Like, I was always that person that did everything extra in the job, anything that I could do, take on more tasks and more tasks, like waiting for someone to say something like, oh, you're doing so great. Right. And then when I didn't feel good. And I felt like I needed to take on more to continue to wait for that interjection, of that. So how do you feel like when you're working with these people in this space of being vulnerable and starting to communicate, do you notice that there's a large overlap in their personal life and how they deal with things in their business? Or do you see that it's very separated?
That is an excellent question. It goes back to when we first started talking here today, where the life coaching and the leadership training development blend together. Mm-hmm. Never have I ever had a conversation with leaders that haven't been a result of their responses or reactions at work from something at home. Now, it could be it could be as simple as my child didn't sleep all night. Came to work, I was miserable. I lashed out at somebody. I didn't have the tolerance for it. They don't have kids. They have no idea how it is to be tired, whatever. And I'm using real life examples. but your staff's not supposed to know that your child didn't sleep all day. But you might say, hey, listen, I might be a little cranky today. My kid didn't sleep. They were sick, whatever. It's not you. It's okay to announce how you feel. It's okay to express that vulnerability, because that does increase trust. It does. Mm-hmm. And when I work with folks, I'll say, well, why do you feel that way? Why do you care if Sally came in 5 minutes late? Well, I like people to be on time. Why? Of course, we know why we want people to be on time. But why does it really get stuck in your craw? Well, if I go through, I call my five layers of why, and it's not an uncommon practice for people to use, but it always falls back into their personal life and their triggers and their beliefs that they have very low tolerance for. Because something happened to them or as a result of them, and they don't know how to separate that from their work and home life. So I help them kind of just bring that back together. And again, it's a sense of awareness first. As long as you know where it's coming from, then you can guide it. If you don't know, it becomes this lash out, relationship is broken, and there's no fixing it until somebody shows up with some vulnerability and accountability. So who's first, right? Then it's like, no, I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I? You know, like, that's not very productive.
Definitely, for sure. So I know you said that you have a five whys that you ask. Can you give me some information, like something that people would be able to kind of use to, if they, you know, are looking to be more self-aware, what is somewhere where they could start in that process?
Okay. I'm going to use social media. This is something that probably would resonate with a lot of people. And it's a conversation I had with a friend of mine. And she said, oh, this is driving me crazy. She's always posting this stuff. And I, doesn't matter who it was, but I said, well, why does that bother you? And it's a person that she doesn't really even know very well. And she says, well, because they're just stupid. They don't understand. I'm like, but why do you care that they don't understand? Because what they don't understand is this. And then I say, but why do you care that they don't understand that it's this? So by the time we get to the third or fourth one, it's because of their own insecurity that is projecting into the judgment of why. So whenever someone's triggered by something, myself included, I work on this, unless someone's trying to boost their business, attention seeking behavior is a pet peeve of mine. So can you imagine social media? I have to be like,
oh no.
I've decided not to be frustrated with it, but to try to understand that they're posting this because of a root cause. And that's where my psychology nerdiness comes into play. When someone responds a certain way at my home, instead of saying, you know, don't talk to your mother like that. You know, I'm your mom. Okay, let's sit down. This isn't a normal behavior. What's going on? I don't want to talk about it right now. Okay, well, when you're ready, can you please come and talk to me? And of course, I want to go up and save my kids, you know, whenever something is bothering them. But when they're ready, they call back. So it's about patience. It's about self-reflection and correction. And I use that a lot because We can only start with us. So when I go onto social media and it's someone I love dearly, and it's yet another post about something again and again and again, they just mm-hmm. need to be seen. And as I got to know them, that wasn't the case when they were younger. This is just one example. And yeah. Okay, I forgive it. Not that she needs to be forgiven. I'm forgiving myself from the frustration of prejudging and having an opinion on something that doesn't even have anything to do with me, because mm-hmm. that's what social media does. So stop, try to figure out why that really bothers you. And what are you going to do about it? Be mad and show your friends and spread that negativity? You know, yeah. I'm talking in an ideal world. Or are you going to stop and think, well, this really bothers me because this is a strong and important message for me. And maybe it is for them too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless you're a serial killer, I mean, I'm going to listen and see why you do what you do, right? It's okay. You got to be open-minded and don't show up with an advocacy for just yourself. Mm. You know, be there for others. So I hope.
Yeah, definitely. No, I love it. And it's interesting too, because I was just reading something recently where they were talking about, you know, when we're younger, we have a type of curiosity about us. But like, as we go through school and as we get older, it's almost like that's transitioned out of us and we're not taught that. And I think that's a lot of the reasons why we run into these issues, whether it's social media, whether it's in your business, in your personal life, is because yes. you don't stop to be curious. Like you said, you are automatically judging. So being able to take a step back and ask questions to learn more can be so helpful anywhere. And I know that that's not what a lot of us are taught. I know that I didn't grow up that way, right? It was, you know, you're angry, we'll get over it, you'll be fine, right? Or if you want something to cry about, like, I'll show you something to cry, right?
That's
like,
right. It's, that's it, right.
It's like, it's such a separation that it almost feels weird to ask people questions. We feel like we are interrogating or like we are impeding in their world, and we shouldn't be. But what I have found is, by asking questions and telling them, okay, that's not what I said. I think we're misunderstanding each other. Let me try again. And then asking if they understand it. It's interesting to see how many people are so willing to respond within a matter of an instant, right? Instead of what we expect, which is people to be like, why are you asking me this? Why are you getting into my business? People actually enjoy having themselves heard.
Mm-hmm. If someone's listening to you and they're truly asking to learn about you. So oftentimes people feel like they're asking to either get a captive audience or to be judged. And unfortunately that is, it's the most common way people. So what do you think about this situation? if you show up in a listening mode in an inquire, understand the people, this doesn't happen overnight. We grew up, you know, just, to be seen, not heard. You know, I mean, I had parents mm-hmm. like that too. I mean, come on. And not be inquisitive. How are we supposed to learn that overnight? Well, why don't you just start with day one and just try. And this isn't kumbayaing. This isn't. It's really just like, try once. Just yeah. try once to ask somebody that, you know, it's going to be a divisive conversation, but say, I'm truly here to understand. But I'm also going to ask you to understand with, like, if we do get into a conversation, the back and forth conversation, but let's just do it in a learning mode, not this judgy mode. And that's mm-hmm. the best thing to do with family, which is the biggest issue that we have, especially over the holidays. A lot of people were just keep yourself and don't bring up whatever. And maybe yeah. it's, you know, a family member that's whatever the issue that's sensitive is. People don't know how to have the conversation because we show up with an agenda. We show up with judgment. And mm-hmm. once we just start to make a awareness a big thing, then we can start turning the tide on that. I that's my belief.
It's yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I feel like a lot of us come in with assumptions before mm-hmm. it even happens, whether it is in personal, in business, how your kids are going to react, right? Like, you already have this expectation of how it's going to go. And that, I think, is one of the big killers of right. opening up a conversation, because if you already go in kill mode, because you're expecting them to answer in one way, even if they don't, it's almost like you didn't even hear it because you were so ready that you just fly off the handle with whatever you already had assumed and had in your head that you were going to come in with. And then it's completely missed and it can make it even worse, especially in your personal life.
Yes. So the first thing when someone says, how come you didn't tell me about that? I don't take it as a judgment. I'll just say, because I needed someone to listen to me. I didn't say it to everybody because I just needed someone to listen to me. Mm. There are two people in my life that are amazing listeners and those who I go to when I really need it to be listened to. I do it for work, for a living, and I do it. And I feel like I'm a good listener. Although my 16-year-old did remind me not too long ago, I don't need a coach. I just need my mom to listen. I'm like, oh, I did it. But when someone, I'm just telling you, if someone's not inviting you or if they're not paying attention to you, they're not responding the way you want them to, don't judge and blame them. Oh, it could be jerks. I don't know. But let's go with in an innocent situation. They're not comfortable telling you the real reason why and start to open up conversation to truly learn if that's really upsetting you. So when you're left out of a group of friends going out to do something. I mean, I have a kid in high school, so this is something I hear about all the time. But it's there's a reason. It doesn't mean that it's a kind reason. There's just a reason, you know. Just again, self-reflection, self-correction. Not to fit in, but just to understand. Don't blame.
Yeah, definitely. And when you're working with people like this and you're dealing with the leadership, do you find that people come back and have more of a conversation with you, like how it changed in their personal? Do you see that it kind of bleeds over when people start these habits in their life in general?
Yeah. There are two types that have been the majority. So one pillar is the people that are leaders and they don't want to, but they have to.
Mm.
And then there are leaders that they want to and just don't know how to, right? So those ones that want to, but just don't know how to, they like, how do I, you know, over people please. And now that's a whole nother issue when you can't do that either. And then they're the ones that are like, you know, very tactical, don't care about, you know, the relationship part. If the ones that are the ones that want to and don't know how are, they're the ones that can get very vulnerable very quickly. And that's an amazing, you know, path that I take with them. The other ones are asking a lot more questions, understanding their why, understanding their goals. They're more tactically oriented. In order to get there, they have to think about how they get there. So everybody has a goal, but depending on who you are from a characteristic and personality style, and not just style, but person in general, again, what did you grow up a certain way? Were you, you know, was it a, you know, boys don't cry, don't get upset. You know, you shut up, do your job, you know, right? So in certain military situations, that's what they had to do. You will learn something, you do it, you don't ask why. But when you, when it's boots on the ground, it's an urgent situation, you have to do what you're told and what you're trained to do. But when you're in a situation where you're in the office from a veteran and civilian world, and that's still the mindset, it doesn't work. Right. So you have to understand your surrounding. You have to understand and be open to changing that mindset and how you deal with people, because it backfires and then they don't know why.
Yeah, definitely. Now, what is your opinion in regards to, because vulnerability is what is another word that I see thrown around a lot. And it's one of the things that Brene Brown talks about in her book is being vulnerable, but there's a way to be vulnerable, and there's a difference in like bleeding everything and not knowing how to communicate that. So what kind of tactics would you suggest if someone is looking to be quote unquote vulnerable? What would that look like? Because I just feel like that's such a broad used word.
It is, and every situation is different, but I'm going to give you one easy way to think about it, and you can kind of stretch it one way or the other depending on what works for you. So if someone is if a leader is trying to make a difference with certain people, certain employees will be up there saying, I'm sorry, but this isn't fair. And the other ones will just sit back and wait and just find another job, and you'll never hear anything from them. Right? But when you have a leader that isn't trusted for whatever reason, maybe they just haven't expressed anything about themselves, they'll sit and, when I tell them to do one-on-ones, suggest them to do one-on-ones, to sit and go, listen, I'm working on being a better leader. So I'm going to put myself out here a little bit. I know I'm not the best communicator. I know I have a lot to learn. I'm going to be expecting of you guys and this is what we have to do before the end of the year, project wise or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I may not like it, but you need to let me know where I can do better. But I'm also going to be doing the same with you guys. So what is this? This is a two-way street. I might come in, I'm going to be a little cranky, but I'm going to let you know why the kid didn't sleep last night type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But to expect, it's not, this is not a dictatorship. You don't come in and say, do it. Get back to me at the end of the day. You want them, if you have an open door policy, have it be a true open door policy and be mm-hmm. vulnerable to be able to put that spreadsheet that you need focus on aside if the door's open, and to sit with someone and say, you know what? I love that we're talking about this. I have this project that's due. I want to hear what you have to say, even though they'd never said that to them before. Mm-hmm. Can we put some time aside, you know, and share a little bit about themselves without, again, what you were saying, just there are some folks when you say, how are you? They will tell you exactly how they are, give you the parameters around it, everything.
Yeah.
And for those people, I always say, just say good morning. And when you do have one-on-ones, let them know you have a time constraint because they want to talk. They want you to learn about them, but they're the type that'll talk forever, right?
Yeah.
Have forever. So it's about showing vulnerability, but also holding boundaries. Like, I'm going to do better. I'm not going to be perfect, but mm-hmm. I'm going to expect of you. It doesn't mean you can come in and complain every day, 5 hours a day, but let's just know that we both have some learning here to do. That can be the first conversation.
I love that
conversation.
And that makes it so simple, right? So it's a piece of honesty and setting boundaries, but also making space.
Yeah.
Period.
And perfectionists don't like that. That makes them incredibly uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones where I give a lot more support to because they need it. So I call on a Tuesday night, hey, how did it go with that meeting? And it's just having an unbiased ear to kind of talk to so that they mm-hmm. can kind of help them stretch that muscle is all.
Yeah. And I absolutely love that you are so closely connected and holding space for those people that do need that so that we can create that, that better and more improved leadership. So before we end, my favorite thing is to always end with a note of positivity. So do you have a quote, a saying, something that you go back to, something you could share that someone could take away today, personal or business?
You know, I saw one the other day and I don't know who, I think it was an unknown, but it's, you know, speak even though your voice shakes. And
ooh.
And that's for folks like for leaders and for people that are having that uncomfortable conversation with a family mm-hmm. member, a friend, coworker, a boss, whatever, show up and say, I don't know how to say this, but I need to talk to you. And say it anyway, because failing is not saying it at all. So I hope that helps. It's not.
No, I love that.
It's not simple, but it's not easy.
I know it's not. But I love that. Well, thank you so much for your time, Kim. This has been a fantastic conversation. I love how you deep dive in with people and really help leaders understand what it means to be a leader and have that ego pushed aside. So how can people connect with you, get in contact with you? How can they work with you?
I would say it starts with a conversation. So you can go on my website and connect with me. It's culturalapexcoach.com, or you can email me at kim@culturalapexcoach.com and let's talk.
I absolutely love that. So thank you so much. Obviously, I'll have that information linked in the show notes so you guys can directly connect with her as well. And to everybody that's out there, I hope you got some amazing takeaways. Remember that awareness and self-reflection is a great way to start figuring out where you can improve. And if you're looking to improve, this is a fantastic small piece to start with. Otherwise, you're going to constantly feel stuck. So thank you so much, Kim, again, for being a part of the podcast. And to everybody out there, don't forget, do one thing positive for somebody else each and every day and watch how it changes your world. So until next time, have a fantastic day.
Hello again, and thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you absolutely loved what you heard, please be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review so we can keep the good stuff rolling. Got something you'd love to hear us discuss? Then be sure to message me on social media and let's work together to spread even more amazing content. And if you haven't yet connected with me on social media, be sure to follow along at Agent Services Plus. I'm so excited to connect with you on the next episode. And until next time, be sure to find things that help you learn, grow, and be inspired.